This episode of Guns Blazing is brought to you by the people at 3Chi. 3Chi is the industry leader in Delta-8 THC products. Delta-8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and a great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. So go to 3Chi.com to shop for Delta-8 edibles like cookies and gummies, or to shop for vapes, tinctures, gummies, and oils that can be used to make your own homemade edibles. Use code GUNS21, G-U-N-S, the numbers 21, at checkout to receive 5% off your order. That's code GUNS21 at checkout to receive 5% off your order. Must be 21 to purchase.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
Bro, I just said fuck it today. Look, I got a decent little Rolodex in my celly. You know, like I got a decent Rolodex, okay? I got back into the red wine. I'm sipping on a little Pinot, and I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just start. I'm going to start asking people, because we never really asked people to be on our podcast.
Right. We decided we didn't want to have guests until we got to a certain point, like 40 episodes in. Guess what? We accomplished that. We decided, we start having some people on.
Yeah. So you know what I said? I kicked it off, and I said, let's just start texting. I started at the top. Okay, I went with the big dogs, you know, the people you only text every once in a while, you know, a little happy birthday, a little hello, how's things going here and there, you know, never to bug them. But now we're going to run down the list of people we've messaged, and several of these people have agreed.
More than I could have imagined would have agreed.
So yeah, then over the next month, we're going to have some serious guests, and we just started texting like within the last 30, so... The list could get fatter of replies, but right now, here's who I've texted today. Okay, and more than, now a few people they might not know that are awesome people, but of the bigger names, more of the bigger names said yes than would have not replied.
Right.
Okay, I text Gabriel Iglesias, I text Russell Peters, I text Joe Coy. I text Adam Vinatieri. I text Pat McAfee. I text fucking Ian Bagg, who almost won Last Comic Standing. I text Martin Moreno, who's a famous comedian with Gabriel Iglesias. Martin! I text my boy Butch Bradley. I said Vinatieri. I text fucking... I just went down the list, bro, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go with my dream list of guests on this podcast. Like, fuck it. Like, let's go. I talk to most of them regularly on some level. So why? Right. Like, let's just roll. Who'd you text, Todd?
Well, I won't count just the comedians that they won't know who we know are awesome. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I text some of them and all of them are on board. But I just now after, because I was just getting barraged, like one big fucking star after another from you. I'm like, let me start digging through my phone and see who I have in here. So I texted so far, big names, Jamie Kennedy and Tom Green. Okay. Now, if I haven't spoken or I haven't texted with either of them in a few years. So okay. I have partied with Tom Green extensively. Now, that doesn't mean I'll hear back, but we have partied. Mm-hmm. Bailey, my son, has partied with Tom Green extensively.
Yeah.
Jamie Kennedy and I used to text just every now and then, just, you know, hey, man, how's it going type mm-hmm. stuff. Now, granted, I was at a position in my life where I could give him 3 weeks a year work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that doesn't exist anymore. But he's also a good dude. I saved him from a horrible hotel room situation one night, and hopefully that comes back to benefit me. And he comes on. I mean, those guys both obviously have amazing stories to tell.
I also messaged Jason Serbone, who's played Jackie Jr. in Sopranos.
Nice.
And I also messaged Marquette King. And and dude, I'm telling you, you'd be fucking. I mean, it just feels good. I'm like Ian Baggs. Like, I apologize I couldn't come on tonight. I'm like, dude, no, just whenever.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think, Jarrett? We're just gonna keep doing this.
That's so cool. Like, all those people you named, I've been like, holy shit.
I know. So I'm going to start continue scrolling through my phone, and when I see a name, boop, I'm sending it off. I don't care if it, what my chances are. Dude, I don't care.
I know. And you know what? And I mean, I was like, wow, man, motherfuckers. You know, I guess when you don't, also when you don't bug people on some dumb shit all the time, they will get back to you, you know?
Miss Pat too. I forgot, but I had texted her before and she was busy making her show, but she's back home now. So I think obviously she'll come on. She said she would. So we'll see.
So fuck it, man. You know, like a couple of these are monsters that said yes. But this morning we were doing the coffee, you know, speaking of Pat, we were doing the coffee sesh earlier. We were doing our Monday morning coffee sesh that we do for our Patreon homies, which is basically another extra podcast we do just for them every week.
Right.
You know, we always do an hour for the Patreon. We don't care if 100 people are on it or just the one person. We just sit here and fucking do it. And it goes nowhere. It's just for them.
And it's true raw conversation like we would have anyway over coffee. So you can catch us slipping. You can, it's just whatever comes up, man. Mm-hmm. And we like to find out what's going on with the Patreon people that pop in too.
So. Yeah, we let them jump on. Like, we have a good time. But what happened today was we randomly came up. We started talking about Detroit and how it looked like a fucking war zone when we went there with Pat.
Yeah.
And because we went there one time, Pat, you know, back in before Pat was busy, when he had the off season and he was off, he was like the most spontaneous dude you have ever. He does shit that you would assume all the rich people do that don't do, you know?
Imagine your coolest friend, Jarrett, who has millions of dollars at his disposal, right? Like, just at a whim. Hey,
but very motivated, motivated to have fun.
Yeah, you're like, you want to go do this? Boom, let's go do it. And you're going to have 1,000 times a better time than you visioned before you stepped onto the private jet. So imagine that.
Yeah, he called us up. But he was still single in 2016, and we were fucking all hanging out. He would just text us randomly, dude. It was like the best text you could ever receive from anybody. To this day, it's like I can't think of anything spontaneous that anybody's ever messaged me, and it's been this unbelievable. He would be like, yo, what are you guys doing? We're like, nothing. We're just chilling at our house with our thumbs on our ass. And he'll be like, hey, well, come over to my house at 5:00. I got a private jet. We're going to go hang out at the race this weekend with Connor Daly. I got a jet and a hotel rooms already. So just roll to the house. And I was like, okay. So like, he called up our whole crew, Chris Burton, Dougie, fucking Connor, obviously was racing. You and me, Todd,
J-Mac,
his brother, obviously. And we just go, bro. And we go to Detroit. He was like, yeah, what are we doing this weekend? And we're like, well, I got nothing. And
Bobby,
like,
the money guy.
Bobby, the money guy came. Yes.
Yeah.
And we just said, fuck it, bro. He said, fuck it. He got a jet. We flew to Detroit. We land and it's wild because, you know, when you put something that high level and then you land, like the Detroit private jet strip looks like from fucking I Am Legend, because it has like the tarmac has grass growing on it and shit, right? We land
Concrete's all the asphalt's all busted up and shit. You can see it, like it's cracked into like different shapes and shit. Grass as tall as your knees growing through each crack. Like, you're like, am I landing in Zimbabwe right now?
Yeah, but on a private jet. Yeah, and then you get off. We almost got scammed. Like, these dudes tried to scam us in an Uber somehow. We didn't know what the fuck was going on. Luckily, it was 10 of us or whatever, 7 of us. And then we get and it was a wild ride because we're in the Ubers driving, and there's like a 8-story building with like a corner missing. Like, I don't even know how they blew off the corner of a building. All the houses didn't have glass in the windows. Like, there was just abandoned neighborhoods. Either way, we get to the hotel. And we were at the fucking Hard Rock or something. I forgot that it was a casino for sure, but the hotel was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was like one of the ones where you walk in and it just has one of them different smells where everything is just awesome and the carpet is dope and it's just like cool lights.
Had a sweet ass restaurant bar on the bottom floor. I mean, it was nice.
And I didn't have much money at the time. And Pat, so I went up to Pat, you know, I was rolling Pat, and he, at the time we were like best buddies, right? Like, and I was like his guy. And we get up there and he's like, all right, we're going down to fucking gamble. He said it like, he goes, everybody put your bags down and then we're going to gamble. I'm like, all right. So when I go up there with a room with Pat, I think I even slept in there that, I think I slept on his floor or something. And he just goes, hey, here you go. Boom. He gives me $700. He goes, let's go play some craps. He has like a couple of different, he probably has like $6,000 just like in different bands, right? But like fresh from the bank bands, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He used to, before we go on these trips, and he knew there was a casino in the trip involved, he would go, he would have to call ahead to his bank and then arrange for a cash pickup. And they would just bring out like these stacks, like, and he would just take possession of these stacks. Perfectly, I don't even want to know how many thousands of dollars.
Well, each one was two G's. I remember that. And he had a nice little amount of them. And each one was like 2K wrapped. And it was like the most brand new, most beautiful, perfect money.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the ones in movies, right? So we go up to the room where everybody gets their shit. He goes, here you go. Here's $700. Let's go play craps. He goes, have fun gambling, right? Because he knew, you know, I didn't have shit. We go down to the craps table. Everybody gets a cocktail, you know, round of fucking vodka sodas. And then, you know, we were like, everybody's rich almost at this table. It's like you got Pat, you got Dougie, and you got fucking Burton. They're all dropping like two G's of 4,000 on the craps table. And I'm over here like, to me, $700 on a craps table is a monster amount of money.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and I just lay it down, and they're just like you could hear, like, this is what it sounds like whenever they put their money down. It's like they're just throwing. It's just like a fucking, all you hear is money clapping off the fucking craps table at 6 o'clock in the evening in Detroit. You could tell the table, like the dealers are like, what the fuck's going on here?
Yeah, I'm sliding like a $10 chip on the pass line.
Yeah.
You know? They're fucking dumping just stacks.
Yeah, and then they order
blackjack table you can. Yeah. Like $2, $3.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
And so then they order a round of shots too right away. They're like, all right, we're gonna need some Vegas bombs, and round for everybody gets Vegas bombs, even the people that we didn't know at the craps table were getting them. And also round, you know, vodka sodas and shit. And then it's just on. Everybody starts winning. Everybody. I was up like 2,000. Like I spent all the money I had in my pocket was from that run on the craps table. I gave Pat back his $700. I still had like 2,000. Everybody was winning. Dougie, fucking Burton, Pat, Pat is a, he will bet the pass line like it's fucking a for sure thing. Okay. The pass line, I mean, not the pass line, the field. He's like, yeah, 1,000 in the field.
Dude.
Just dropping $1,000.
He got so hot on the field. It was just like every time he said he was going in the field, we all went in the field. And we were all fucking hitting every fucking time. It was the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Like,
cheering,
I know at one
jumping
point,
around, high fiving, bro.
Yeah, it was nuts, dude. And then I think I woke up with like $1,100 or something, which was a lot for me because I was probably like, I got $100 to bet, you know?
Yeah.
And we black out at some point. At least I did.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
I don't
they kept
remember
doing the shots, the rounds of the Vegas bombs kept coming with the vodka sodas.
I don't remember leaving the casino. It was one of those mornings where you wake up in your hotel room and you're fully clothed and you immediately feel for your wallet. And then you take that out and you're like, fuck, do I have my debit card? Do I have my fucking ID? You know, okay, everything's there. All right, good. I can get a shower. And we all convene. Somebody texts in the group. It was called, I think it was Dem Boys.
Dem Boys.
And somebody texted, hey, we're all going to meet for breakfast in lobby. It was probably Pat. And then, so we all go down there and we set up, we take the whole bar. We're at an L, like, right? So there's half of us meeting it to one corner and then half going from that corner to the rest of the run. And we're just waiting. Nobody's talking. We're all fucking hungover, sick, just staring down. But we're happy inside. Yeah. We all won money. So, and nobody's saying a word. Then all of a sudden you can hear in the hallway just thumping just all the way up. And Pat comes strolling in, just fucking chipper as can be. And he's got his pill. He's holding in his hand. He's fucking just jamming all the way up. And he fucking comes walking. And we just die laughing. And it was back on. All right, pour me some alcohol. Let's get some drinks in us. And we had to get ramped up because there was a race to watch.
Yeah. Eight, nine in the morning. It was like 8 or 9. We went that night, went out to the bar, got hammered, obviously, we all go back, we crash out, wake up, fucking, he comes out all the way up jamming. And that was a summer, that was a summer anthem. And then we just go to the racetrack and just had a blast. Like fucking meeting David, I mean, kind of meeting David Letterman, hanging out in the little VIP area and shit, dude. God damn, that was unbelievable. But, and then just, all right, back, jetting it back the next morning.
Yeah, that was crazy, dude. And Counter Daily, like, finished sixth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was incredible. Finney had an incredible run. He was all happy. I mean, it was just, it was perfect, man. Perfect.
Yeah, that was that summer of 16. God. Like, whatever fucking, what's his name? It was summer, summer of 69.
Oh,
whatever the, whoever sings that. Brian Adams, is that it?
I don't know, but.
Yeah, yeah, but Brian, that was my, like, I've had some unbelievable summers, but summer of 16.
It was stupid.
It was dumb, dude. I mean, we're talking flight attendants on private jets taking off out of Myrtle Beach. Fucking, we'll save that story for another episode. I mean, just flying to, remember when we flew to Pittsburgh for the fucking Penguins playoff game?
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
He calls us at like 2 p.m. Guys, what are you doing? We're like, nothing, bro. We're doing whatever you're doing, Pat McAfee. I got a jet to the, we're going to the Penguins playoff game.
Yeah, and I think it was just me, you, J-Mac, and Pat's dad, wasn't it?
Well, because then that's when we first met Diggs and Nick, I think.
I don't even think Diggs and Nick were there at that one. It was a whole different cast of friends. Yeah.
Well, it was some other homies, though, from there. It was definitely some homies there.
Yeah. Nick might have been there. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like he was, but.
But we, there's a suite. He got us a suite, so we had our own suite.
Open bar.
Food.
Open food.
And we're watching the fucking finals, you know, that round of the playoffs. And
they went to double OT and they won. Oh, and the place exploded. It was the most electric. It was by far the most electric sporting event I have ever been to in my life. That place exploded. You would have thought it was like, that was basically the closest thing to a utopia, was a Pittsburgh hockey win against Tampa. To move on, a double OT goal, and the fucking place goes bonkers. But when we landed in the private jet, they had black vans waiting, like VIP shit, you know, right to the door. A dude with the Penguins came out and met us, fucking took us to the suite, open bar, open food. And then I was back home, bro. We were back home in our apartment by midnight.
Yeah. And it was like, that's my first experience with hockey live, NHL hockey, which to me, it's the greatest sport to watch live. I mean,
yeah, after it's that. Pretty incredible.
And granted, that was a once in a lifetime experience. But I remember I knew so little about hockey. I went over to Jason McAfee and I was like, that guy right there, man, he's good. I'm pointing to a player and he was like, oh, you mean Sidney Crosby, like the best player in NHL history? Yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty good, Todd.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, yeah.
And Jay got that dry, like, sarcasm where you're just like, oh, I'm an idiot. But yeah, so man, that was just another one. Like, that happened like four different times. And man, what a fucking run. That summer was so, because when Pat has a woman, he has definitely a leash. Because he needs it, because he's a fucking maniac.
Right.
I'm not sure I've seen anybody more of a maniac when they were single. And it had nothing to do with women. He don't give a fuck about the chicks.
No.
Like, it was dudes. It was us at the, I've watched him just like when we, one time in Pittsburgh, well, you know what? No. What other time did we fly there on the jet to Pittsburgh when we had the boat, when he rented the boats and shit and we had the casino tables?
God,
that was another private jet time.
I drink so much during those. I don't remember the details of that one hardly at all.
We jetted over there. It was someone's birthday or something. And we fucking took another private jet and we were there in Pittsburgh all weekend. Definitely that was the first time I met Nick and Diggs.
I don't think I went on that one. I didn't go on that one. No, when you guys went on the boats. Yeah, I don't know.
You didn't go on the boat with the casino and all that?
I think I was working or something. Something happened. I can't go. Or maybe I had a weekend.
Bro, we walk into this. We went to day drinking. We walk in and Pat goes, anybody? It was a very calm bar. It was a very calm, not normal little place. Pat walks in and goes, all right. He looks at the bartender and he goes, anybody touching every single person? No, he goes, everybody single person right now at the bar, make them a shot. Next thing, by the time we left, Pat had this place turned upside down. Fucking bought everybody in that bar, probably five drinks. People were calling their friends to come. I mean, we were on the bar. I mean, it was out of control, bro. And that was just the afternoon. We went to the hotel. We took a shower. We went out that night. I remember that was when Bobby the Money Guy had the fucking penguin suit on.
Ugh.
And he had the penguin suit on, bro. Anyways, we walk into this club bar and Pat goes, looks at the bartender. It was packed. It was fucking wall to wall. He goes, bartender, he goes, hey, every single person touching the bar with their body, put a shot down. By the end of the bar, I was walking around with a bottle of Jaeger pouring in people's, like I bartended upstairs for a little while.
Damn.
Like that's how wild the shit got. And it was just incredible. I remember Pat and Bobby, the Money Guy, on top of the bar in this place, walking down, pouring shots in people's mouths from up high, like 6 feet high. Like they let us, because we were with Pat, fucking take over this place. Like we took over. Oh my, I think this is fucking Marquette King. Hold on a second.
Oh, it's calling you right now.
Hello? What's up, Marquette King? Oh, nothing. We just started doing the podcast, man. But what do you got going on? You just fucking out there putting out dope ass sick ass videos and shit. You hitting fucking targets 80 yards out? you know, we'd love to have you as a guest. The way it works, so we would just send you a link and shit. How about, what are you doing Wednesday? All right. Are you on the West Coast right now? East Coast? So we know the time frame.
It's sounding pretty good.
Yeah.
You'll be on the East on Wednesday, the East time zone. Okay, I'm gonna text you a time. That's cool. And then we'll just send you a link on StreamYard, and then you'll just open it up, and we can just do work. You can be video or two if you want. If not, if you can only do sound or whatever, well, we'll just do that. All right, I really appreciate you. So then I'll hit you up on fucking Wednesday afternoon, and I'll send you a link, and then we'll hit that shit on Wednesday night. Nah, man, we just talk shit. It's me and my boy Todd McComas, and we could talk about it, but it's just about anything. We're not really a sports dudes. Hell yeah, homie. I appreciate that.
I think
hell yeah. Happening. All right, we'll talk to you on Wednesday then. Peace. Well, Marquette King's gonna be on Thursday's episode.
Got one, Bucking.
Insane. Holy shit.
I just got a text from Chris Bowers, our buddy Chris Bowers. Uh-huh. And he said, Jamie Kennedy just reached out to me and asked me if he should do your podcast. And I told him yes. So hopefully he does it, he said.
Yeah. You know, I won't bring it up to Jamie Kennedy, but because I don't know how the relationship is with him and a kid I started comedy with that basically forced me to do stand up. My boy, mm-hmm. Brian Ritchie,
uh-huh.
He's a New York kid, but he was in Arizona. When I first applied, when you got a job at the Tempe Improv, they before they even interview you, they make you watch a show. So my very first show at the Improv was Richard Jenny. And Brian was the waiter who was working that night, came over, gave me some water, and we started chatting it up a little bit.
Nice.
And he was an open micer at the time in 01. And he was like one of my best friends. You know, like we got a little bit separated, obviously, over the years, but we were always boys, you know? Mm-hmm. How about just fucking Marquette King just called me?
I know.
That's wild.
And you know, we know who's on our guest coming up. But
and a big guest the next week.
Yeah. It's so, fuck, man. It's
fingers crossed on that one. You might have to fly in for that one.
I know. I'm about to fly in. We'll beat up Bill Todd into the same room.
So we can all be in the same
room. I'll drive in, bro. I don't care. I need a couple Adderall and a fat-ass joint, and I'll be in Indy in 10 minutes, even though it's 10 hours.
Yeah.
But, you know, overall, like, I don't. What was I saying? My lady yelling out shit. I don't know.
You're talking about your buddy that knows Jamie Kennedy.
Oh yeah, yeah. So today I talked to him. I haven't talked to him for a while, and I talked to him, and he was because he used to tour with Jamie Kennedy.
Okay.
But I don't know if they had a falling out or whatever. Yeah. So I wouldn't want to like blow up my homie's spot, and I wouldn't bring it up in front of fucking Jamie Kennedy.
It's gonna be interesting to see. You never know what people are like how well Jamie remembers me. But like I said, we used to just every now and then, hey, what's up? And one time, like, this is how well he knew me at one point was I was told I was going to the Bob and Tom show the next morning, right? And So I put it out on social media, and they said, hey, you're going to be on with Jamie Kennedy. And I was like, oh, cool. I love Jamie. So I put that out. Hey, you can catch me sitting beside Jamie Kennedy on the Bob and Tom show tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., blah, blah, blah. And then about 2 in the morning, my time, I wake up and I'm getting FaceTimed. I'm like, what the fuck? And I was like, it's Jamie Kennedy. I better take this. So I answer it, and he's in the back of like an Uber or whatever. And he goes, hey man, like, I love you and Bowers and shit, but I'm not in Indianapolis tomorrow. So I don't know where you got that information. And he said, but I hope to see you soon. And I was like, the Bob and Tom show told me that. And he's like, man, I canceled that guy like 2 months ago. And I was like, okay, sorry. I can't delete it. It's already out there. I don't think people will really mind. But he was like, all right, okay. So he knew me enough to like FaceTime me then. So The fact that he just called Bowers, he probably just didn't recognize my name, hopefully.
Oh, yeah. You know? A lot of motherfuckers don't save numbers.
But I forgot that he is a regular on Bowers' show. I totally forgot about that. I already hit Bowers first.
Yeah. Bowers got a hell of a Rolodex too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's got a big one, especially now that he's been out in LA because they've had huge people on that, distancing social club show.
Oh yeah. I see. I see who they got on there. It's always loaded.
Yeah.
With some killers.
Yeah. Killers. So that's good.
That's cool.
I really hope Tom Green comes on, but.
So there it is. I mean, listen, we're going to have we're opening the floodgates, like we wanted to make sure that everybody knew that Todd and I were just really focused on trying to create our thing and not piggyback shit. We know who we are, what we are, what we're trying to do, where we were, where we are now. And, we've been fucking consistently cranking now. Episode 40. Let's rock and roll. Let's get some guests. We're probably going to start busting off some bonus episodes too, because if everybody, we want to get when motherfucker says yes, we want to let's do it. Like we don't want to give them any reason or a time frame to forget or get busy or get canceled.
Yeah.
Like we'll put it out.
We'll record it. We'll bank it and we'll put it out in the future.
We'll put 3 or 4 out. Fuck it. In 1 week sometimes. I mean, I don't think anybody, it wouldn't hurt, to like do that.
No, it wouldn't hurt at all. It wouldn't hurt at all. But it feels good. Feels good to now, those people that are with us up to this point. Thank y'all. Yeah. We didn't want you just to come on to be like, oh, look, they're always going to have cool guests or whatever. Sometimes we will. Sometimes we won't. We wanted you to love us first.
Yeah.
As us on our own. And now we'll start branching out.
And I've been eating better. Which is a big deal,
I can tell, but you're looking good. You have a bit of a glow about you.
I do have kind of a glow. And it's not only the fact that I've been losing weight and watching what I eat, Todd. It's because of what I'm doing. And that's a little something called benefitcustommeals.com, Todd.
Oh, love it.
You've heard this ad on this podcast, but we're telling you, this is the one. You're getting 15 meals for $100 flat. And we're not talking about any old meal. We're talking about Chef Kayla is working hard. Okay. So we're talking about a quality meal. Like you guys are getting the hookup. My favorite, the Dochi, which is bold and spicy, a full 284 calories. You get 4 ounces of rice. You get your 5-6 ounces of shrimp. And it's just bold and spicy, delicious. It's just these meals, you're going to eat them and you're like, where the fuck am I?
You're tasting love. You're shoving love into your mouth because Chef Kayla cooks with nothing but love. It's almost as if she were cooking for her own family that night. And you've had this thing in your freezer and you heat it up for 3 minutes, take it out of the microwave, stir it up another minute. And then it tastes like someone just now made it for you. It's that good. It's perfectly seasoned. I don't got to add shit. If you use no other code or try no other product that we promote. Try this one because I totally believe that you're going to love it. I know that you're going to love it. My new favorite, Tide Up. It's spicy as fuck, dude.
So
if
good.
If you were a spice head, fucking get you some Tide Up, man. You'll get a little bead of sweat on your forehead, but it tastes so good you can't stop fucking eating it. That's the kind of food I really, really dig.
And just so you know how it works, you're going to pick 15 meals. And every time you pick a meal, underneath it, you're going to select the option 15 for 100. And then at the end, tell them the code, Todd.
Guns at checkout. That just lets them know that you're a listener of our show and that you qualify for the 15 for $100 discount. So that's a hell of a deal. I'm telling you, you're not going to get any better meal ever that's from any type of meal prep company than you're getting right now. And it's perfectly portioned, like Sean said, and it's going to help you feel better about yourself, better about your eating habits. And it, coincidentally, you're going to trim a little nastiness from your body.
Yes, you are. And we got everything. I mean, we're talking if shrimp is your thing, chicken, fish, pork, breakfast too. You got fast break, which is a crispy bacon wrapped around the perfect egg topped with spinach and mushroom. We got breakfast bowls, steak and eggs, power pancakes. I'm telling you, if you live in a busy life and you want to eat delicious, fresh food, this is the move right here.
And don't be afraid to explore the snacks. They're all fucking delicious.
Guess what, Todd? They're also throwing in some snacks when you use our promo code. And if you're in the Indianapolis area, they'll bring it to you. Okay. They'll deliver it, bro. Imagine how fresh and delicious that's going to be. If you're in Indianapolis, you got a little extra sweetness here. If you're not in Indianapolis, don't worry. They will ship it.
$100. Our guy in Denver. It was Denver, right? Yeah, he ordered some.
Also in Spokane, our homie in Spokane.
Yes. And when these arrived, he said they were still like fully frozen. Like it was incredible.
Yeah.
And they're in love with them now. So testimonials.
BenefitCustomMeals.com.
Go there. It gets you in the right state of mind. Here's what happened to me today. I feel like I have more energy, and this is not even part of the ad. It's just what happened to my day today. So, you know what? I like to sleep in. I stay up late, usually working on the computer or whatever. I get bored too quickly. So I'm trying to teach myself Premiere Pro right now just because I feel like if you have enough spare time on your hands, you might as well be learning something useful. So I get up early this morning. Go get my passport application taken care of.
Yeah, you
get my
did.
Photo taken, passport. That was at 9:30 this morning. Come back. We knocked out the coffee sesh for the Patreon people. And then I went and got my first COVID shot, the Moderna, right in the arm. And then I came back and I knocked out about 3 hours of fucking true crime documentary a week. And then we got ready and rolling on this. So... And we got our plans together for the Vegas trip for ACL. Like, what a productive day. It's all because I'm trying to kind of take care of myself, give myself a little more energy.
It is. By the way, April. That's my lady's birthday.
Yeah.
She'll be coming out there with us to Vegas. Now, her daughter's going to come too because obviously on Friday and Saturday, we don't have much time to really do anything but work. But, you know, she's coming out. We're going to hang out in Vegas, just chill out. We have a show at the Stratosphere at the LA Comedy Club at midnight on Thursday, April 29th.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. Also, you're going to be in Lexington, Kentucky, April 25th, 26th, and 27th?
Nope. No, sir. 22, 23, 24, Lexington.
22, 23, 24, Broadway. Yep.
Yes. And we're also been setting, I just set up Louisville today for August.
Nice.
I also have Des Moines, Iowa in June. So, you know, we're just trying to get the ball rolling, man. Life's coming back.
It's all coming back. I got
Marquette. You know, we got some monsters. I mean, next week's guest is unreal. I mean, listen, the dude's schedule's out of control. So when he was like, yeah, I'll do your shit next week. I'm like, what? You guys are fucking pumped. You better. Next week is going to be the episode. It's going to be the one.
We're going to have John Ranke on soon, too, from Tiger King.
Yes.
I just got to make sure he's got his tech figured out.
Yeah. that's the thing about the tech is that we got to get him on.
So he's going to come on and talk about the tour a little bit that we have coming up. There's 34 shows on the books for that so far and more come every week. But he's excited about it, and I want him to come on and tell some fucking stories because that guy, he has more
stories. Is he ever in town? Is he ever in Indy?
You know, I'll have to ask him because that would be awesome to catch him when he's passing through. He races a lot. He owns a car and he's always racing. So I don't know. It's his busy time of year, I think. So, yeah, guy so with that, no legs racing. Don't get any better.
It's good. You know, we want to thank everybody listening today. We kind of vented a little bit today, Todd, that we, you know, things aren't as great as we'd like them all times. But again, then you have an episode like today. We've gotten such amazing news, some guests coming up.
A lot of positivity, you know,
on the flip. Yeah, we've got work coming. We've got a lot happening. Marquette King just fucking called me while in the middle of the podcast. Which, you know, he really intrigues me. Like, what? Because, you know, he might be vocal, but a lot of people are vocal. Like, this guy is a fucking amazing kicker.
Yeah.
Like, why is he not in the league? And, you know, well, I'm sure we'll, I mean, listen, he's very vocal about it. I'm sure we'll talk about it.
Might as well.
But, you know, again, we're just here trying to make moves, trying to do our thing. You know, me and my lady, we went today. She had God junk come today and they took away a ton of stuff. We're just ready to, we're redoing my little office room here. We went to all the furniture. You know what, dude, the real money is a fucking home goods store, bro. If I had a couple mil right now to dump into a store, I would open a home goods style store. There's a store called Home Sense over here in New Jersey. It's a few miles from us. It's connected to, I'm pretty sure the Marshalls and whatnot own Home Goods, Marshalls Home, but this one is different. They have like everything times 10. And it's just unbelievable, bro. And it's fucking wall to wall packed. Everybody fighting over shit in there, dude. They have a fight club out back, Todd, where dudes, I had a scrap a dude 2 weeks ago. I fucked some guy up because his lady and my lady both touch the same table at the same time. And that's how they solve it.
Damn, I like that.
It's Matt's out back and everything. I like a good
aggressive fucking home goods store. You know what? You want this table bad enough? Take it out back.
Yeah. Send your husbands out there.
Last man standing.
It really is. It's like today, my lady, we're looking at these big ass rugs, right, for this room, because it's a wood room, but my lady wants a nice rug in here, a little 12x12.
Helps absorb the sound of the echo, like, a little too.
Yeah, because that's more echoey probably today, because the rug isn't, we just bought, you know, we took everything out of this room. I sat down in a chair by the rugs. I'm, you know, I got the sciatic, you know, it's not as bad. I've been losing some weight, so it's not as bad. I put down for like 2 seconds. I was doing, I was doing something on the phone, right? On over real quick. And I sat down on a chair where my lady was looking at the rugs dangling from the ceiling. And I had a thing of Tupperware she had bought that I was holding for, and a thing of wine glasses, these ones. I set them down on a table next to me. Some Asian lady rolls up next to me and goes, "Can you please move that stuff? I'm trying to look at this table." I'm like, all right. And I was like, oh, you know, it's a nice table. Let me just go away. Oh, my bad, lady. And I moved my stuff to the left of me, the chair. These fucking places are out. Dude, they are out of control.
See, I wouldn't have moved them.
No, I was being, you know, I didn't like her tone really, but I was like, well, you know, I don't see her husband around, for I can't go fight him out back right now. So I'll just be nice and move it. Because, you know, maybe she wasn't trying to be rude. Like, you know, sometimes, like a lot of times Vietnamese people, they might just sound rude even they're just being nice, because that's in their tone, right?
Yeah, because like it's an aggressive speech pattern.
Yeah, it's a very aggressive.
Didi Mao. Didi Mao.
Don't Mao. Wait, what do they say in fucking Deer Hunter?
Didi Mao.
Mao.
Yeah, it's aggressive. It's aggressive language.
Yeah, remember Deer Hunter when they were fucking playing Russian roulette? Oh.
Yeah.
By the way, another show wreck here, Gamora on HBO Max, dude. You got to watch it. By the way, every time I open it up, it says, who's watching, Bailey or Todd? Fuck it, Todd.
You got to watch Your Honor.
Oh, shit. Let me write that down.
It's on Showtime.
I got to get Showtime now.
You got my Hulu? No. My Prime.
No, I don't think so. I have my own Prime.
I have it through Prime.
What's it called?
Your Honor. It's with Bryan Cranston. It's
fucking really?
Incredible. It's incredible. I mean,
Bryan Cranston.
It will physically exhaust you. It's got so many fucking, like, you're on the edge of your seat every fucking episode. Yeah. It's crazy.
That's beautiful, bro. I just love there was a point watching Breaking Bad, the last episodes, where I couldn't even handle the anxiety.
It's like that.
Remember when he was down in the little thing trying to scoop all his money up and then you thought he was gonna get caught?
Yeah.
And I was like my head was gonna explode. Bryan Cranston just knows how to, whoever wrote with a writer on that show, and if it's as good as that, Your Honor, yeah, anywhere near the level of anxiety I would get because I was so fucking ready to push my TV off the table.
He's just perfect at creating tension. I mean, in the same way that Jason from Horrible Bosses and all those movies and Silver Spoons when he was a kid, Jason Bateman is at creating awkwardness, Bryan Cranston is at creating fucking tension.
Well, Jason Bateman also, he's great at the, because what's that show that's crushing? That's amazing right now.
Ozarks.
Like that show is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's great.
That's just one of those, that's a breaking, I mean, it's not obviously I'm not as hardcore with it as I was with Breaking Bad, but it's another one of those fucking top tier shows, bro.
It's so good. But in Ozark, like, Jason Bateman never loses his cool. He never looks panicked. He's always he's always in control. Where Bryan Cranston looks like he's about to fucking shit himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I can feel it. I'm like, oh my God.
Fucking Walt.
It's crazy.
I'm sipping on a little 2017 Pinot here, a Mickey. Pinot Noir, Russian River Valley, Todd. This is a very nice Pinot, especially for the price point of under $30. It's a nice, you know, got a lot of those blackberry and wildberry cobbler, pomegranate kind of notes. It's very sweet, but just sweet enough. I won't say very. I apologize. It's just got a nice medium body.
That's an interesting bouquet. I mean, for that price range,
it's silky but juicy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's refreshing. You're getting cherry notes, raspberry. You're getting a long finish, but it trails off with a hint of umami.
I like
that. And a little brown spice, just a little bit though. You know what I mean? Like, look at that. It's a nice full body. Oh yeah. I love a good,
just like a hummingbird. Like a hummingbird's fart of brown spice, like that small of a trace.
Yeah, just like a little bit, just in the back of the palate, just to remember and just to remind you that it's a clean little Pinot. You know what I mean? You can't really hate on it. It's just a nice little glass of wine. What are you sipping on, Todd?
I got a little Screwball, the peanut butter whiskey.
Oh, last time we drank that shit popped off, episode 26.
It did. But I'm smoke free, so it'll last longer. Yeah. You know what? This is like, it's sweet. It's a good like after dinner whiskey. I don't know.
It is. It's
really
like
good
that
with the cigar.
I drank that with Russell Peters also a couple weeks ago at the Stress Factory.
Oh, nice.
No big deal. It's fucking name drop. This episode is brought to you by name dropping.
Oh, that's what we need to call the episode, name dropping.
Yeah, name dropping 2021, kid. Dude, there's this guy in LA. He was like, I have a buddy that's a producer. I did a movie in 2009 with Felipe Esparza, Paul Rodriguez, and Edwin San Juan.
Mm-hmm.
It was an independent film. The director was this guy named Christian Sesma. He's not several amazing films with several, you know, high level actors. And there's a guy we met through him. I don't want to say his name. Who gives a fuck? He's never going to listen. His name's Ernie. Now, Ernie's a nice guy. He's got a big heart. He wants to be cool and helpful. But I am telling you, when I say name dropping, now listen, the names we drop today are people on our phones, are people that we know, are people that we've had the joy of working with. But this fucking guy, I'm telling you, bro, you say you love a Tupac song, he'll tell you about the time in 94 when he was in a studio with Tupac and shots rang out. Like, no matter what you're doing, this fucking guy would drop names. And we never even fucking called him by his name. Me and Christian called him Name Dropper.
Nice.
Like, dude, the time he dropped Snoop and Dre and fucking Tupac, I was like, all right, that's enough, dude. It was like an LA dude on steroids, because a lot of people in LA like to drop names, you know, especially when you start like if it's a producer or executive, like anybody to do in the film industry, quote unquote. Now, Christian can drop some names, but he don't do it, right? Mm-hmm. He's an actual director. He's look at his resume. It's legit.
Yeah.
He's a real screenwriter. He's a real director. But this guy, all he would do is occasionally get Christian some guns or some shit, right, for films.
Mm-hmm.
And but I am saying, I wish I can. It was been so many years. It's been fucking 12 years. But Ernie would just fucking, I don't know where he got his money either. I don't know where this guy did. He'll pick me up in a fucking, and one time he comes at Long Beach, bro. He picks me up. He loved me, right? He'll come pick me up in Long Beach. And a dope ass Mercedes, like the high end one that almost looks like a half moon on, like that one that's real slick, you know, and drive to Hollywood, bro. And we'll go to the fucking most expensive sushi place right on Hollywood Boulevard. That's right next to all the bars, the clubs over by the Laugh Factory area. And he'll buy it all, spend $2,000. I don't know where the fuck this guy did, bro. I don't know. He would sometimes he would just drive us to Palm Springs to party and drive back. And that's a fucking 90 miles each way from Long Beach.
Dude, I mean, I hate the person who immediately thinks they got to open up their Rolodex to you. Like that, yes, that somehow finds them. Like I was,
that's Ernie.
I was telling Garth Brooks this one time. I was like, he was going to perform at Central Park and we were just hanging out, having a coffee beforehand. And he was all worried about the concert. I'm like, don't worry about the concert.
Don't
worry
about
it. But I was telling him, I was like, you know who I fucking hate? And he was like, what? And I was like, I hate fucking people that name drop in their stories. Like, why can't you just tell interesting stories without bringing in a famous person and to drop that name to make your story better? If the story can't stand on its own, you know, then don't fucking tell the story. And Garth Brooks was like, I totally agree with what you're saying, Todd. I hate that myself. And, you know, so we bonded over that. I think we both are, anti-name dropping people. So,
and guess what? And he gets it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like most people on this, on this podcast don't get it.
Mm-mm.
I'll tell you right now, though, fucking Garth Brooks gets it.
Oh, yeah. He gets it. I mean, that's why he's a legend.
He has fucking friends in low places, bro.
That's exactly. It's exactly why he's Garth Brooks.
How about Marquette King called me, bro?
That's fucking cool, dude.
Just a little bit. That threw me off there. After getting a couple of confirmations on who's going to be on this podcast next week and the week after, that was just nice little icing on the cake, dude. You know?
That was. That was good. That was real good. I mean, it's gonna be cool to have some people on, and the people that aren't famous that we just know are awesome.
Yeah,
like Dave Williamson, he reached out to him today. He, he tours with Bert Kreischer all the time. So
I'm sure he's got Bert Kreischer right now.
I'm sure he's got a million stories about being on the road with him as of late. But he's also Dave Williamson. He's one of my favorite headliners, man. That guy can crush no matter what room it's in. He's just one of those people. It doesn't matter. And his act never changes for the demographic. It's just his act crushes universally. I fucking love it. Like, he's one of my favorites.
There's just so many awesome people that are, you know, that to just catch them for 30 or an hour speaking, you know, is nice. And you know what else I want to do? I think it'll be really fun that in the middle of all these superstars that we have lined up for this show, just fucking regular people.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get some regs on here. I think that's
just
what
from regular walks of life.
Regular walks of life. Like, let's call up fucking True Blood or Deepu. You know what I mean? Like, just some homies that are just cool as shit, normal, and just regular ass people.
I have Bert Kreischer on my phone. Also, I had to check. I thought I did. Mm-hmm. Now he won't know me unless I say I'm Pat's guy.
But you know what, though? I talked to him. I might have asked him. Let me look at my DMs.
But he communicates with you on social media. So it's different. He only knows me from having done Morty's and driving him to and from and then hooking him up for the first time on Pat's show.
I'm DMing him right now. Wanted to follow up because he said he'll do our podcast. He said he'll definitely do it.
I remember that. So you should call him out on it. He's a busy guy. I get it. He has like 10 shows that he's running right now. But
you guys just got all the names. I'm just sitting here and like, just what the fuck? How did I get roped into this?
You know, the only bad part about having big name people you don't really know in your phone is if they're next to somebody else that you bullshit text with alphabetically, that can be bad. Like at one time, I thought I was texting my buddy Tim McLaughlin. I probably told this story, but I texted Tim Meadows by mistake and said some fucking pretty rude shit. And I got a response. He was like, "Wrong Tim? ?" And I was like, "Yes, I'm so sorry."
He was, fucking text Tim Meadows, you dummy dude.
And I don't know Tim Meadows at all, except that he needed me to have his number to pick him up at the hotel and take him to the Bob and Tom show into the club. That's it.
Yeah. Hey, that's funny. I just messaged Bert Kreischer, by the way.
Nice.
Oh my God.
Let's get the fucking list going, dude. Let's just step it up, you know? We love everybody listens to us, and we're so excited that they follow along and enjoy us. So let's pull some strings for them, Todd. Let's get them on here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Look at Jared change his background up from the window.
Oh, yeah. He moved.
He covered.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You moved. You're in your own apartment, Jared. How's it going, bro?
It's going good, man. We finally.
Now you can smack off whenever, right after work. You know what I mean? Jared's at home just rubbing one out the moment he gets home and shit. And he can lay there butt ass naked, fall asleep. Don't matter no more, bro.
Do you live by yourself?
No, I live with two of my buddies that I grew up with.
Uh-oh. Yeah, but if you close Party the house. Door, dude, close the door. No one, listen, dudes, you don't just walk into your buddy's fucking. You know, room right. and shit. Especially after the shift. That's when you want to smack one. You know what I mean? Fucking.
You give a respectful knock at the door if you want to walk exactly. in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure.
Yeah, dude. That's nice. I'm glad, bro. You're fucking moving on up into a little apartment. Yes, we got a house? We guys got a house, apartment?
Yeah, what? We got a house just a couple, like 20 minutes away from where I grew up. So.
Okay, but how are you guys working the dishes? Because this is going to be a big deal.
Well, I've lived with people before, like in college and stuff. So I'm kind of used to like just doing my own and putting them away.
But that doesn't mean everybody's doing it. That means you could get roped into being the little dish bitch.
No, I just like make my food, wash them, put them away, and it's over.
Do your other roommates do the same?
So far. I mean, it's been 4 days since the thing
about dishes is that people, it's such a more of a mind fuck. It looks so much harder when you're looking at it. Right. Like I lived in an apartment. I lived in this dope ass house in Mesa, Arizona, off Estrella Circle, off of Dobson and Southern. And I had these roommates. Motherfuckers wouldn't touch a dish, bro. It would be overflowing. And then like, I mean, all the way down the countertop, every plate and cup and bowl and spoon and knife was dirty as fuck. And it was like a fucking, the people were on strike. Like if no one dirtied up shit, it was just the way it was. And you'd have to get mad and be like, motherfuckers, come do your shit, dude. It would be horrible, bro.
I go in spurts. My lady's dirty a dish, wash a dish, put it in the dishwasher kind of person. I will fill my sink up.
Todd ain't a dish guy there, Jared. I live with Todd.
Yeah. I will just do them in a one batch, maybe every once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks if I can get by with it.
We even had a goddamn dishwasher. Mm-hmm. I definitely took the forefront on the dish game when I was living with Todd. He did a lot of the other stuff. So I was like, okay.
I was the oven cleaner. Because when Sean cooks, when he's smoking, shit just goes. Everywhere.
My lady don't like it really. She's
there's my lady, of food everywhere.
My lady does the dishes most of the time. Now she just got this like part-time job like during the day. So like I now have to like I pick up the slack because she's gone and working and I can't like I feel bad. Like I can only be doing my like work stuff and playing Call of Duty during the afternoon so much where like you don't ever feel like more of a piece of shit than when your significant other comes home from work and you ain't done shit. So I've really picked it up since then. But
now when Angie's here, I don't feel bad about her doing the dishes or whatever. Like I'm just like, yep, that's your thing, whatever. Like your job is dishes. My job is to be fucking amazing and funny all the time.
Yeah. And good looking as fuck. Rolls. How about no hat Todd? By hair, the way. Dude. Big fan of no hat Todd. Mm-hmm. No hat Todd is nice. That's nice hair, bro. You're 4. How old are you? You're about to be 50, bro.
Yeah, I'll be 50 in June. The reason I cut my hair is I was trying to grow it out and I'm like, this is gonna take a fucking another year to get it anywhere near the length I want. Well, I'm like, I know I got to take this passport photo. And I'm like, I'm going to be stuck with this passport photo for a long ass fucking time. I'm not having like fucking just bangs hanging out of control, halfway grown hair tied. So I'm like, I just got to get a clean fade and fucking go back to normal for this passport photo. So now I'm just keeping it. I'm just keeping it this way. It's fucking easy.
And you look good.
Yeah, I think I look better with it. You know, I was just trying to go with the
lifestyle, right, Todd? It's a lifestyle, buddy.
It is. It is. I was trying to just look a little less put together, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But now you're looking more healthy, Todd. That's the thing. You're getting healthy.
Well, it's about feeling healthy and getting healthy, I think, Sean.
It's paying off.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, think about everything that traditionally we've learned about getting healthy.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of contradictory information out there, and things like that old-fashioned food pyramid doesn't help things at all. It's not even a real thing.
It's bullshit. It's fucking bullshit, bro. It's not real, okay?
That's like when they used to do cigarette commercials and tell you about how fucking good they were for you. It's false information. You know how to chew. You know how to use chopsticks, most of you.
At least some.
And how to fold a slice of pizza so the cheese doesn't slide off and you get just that perfect first bite. You know what I mean? You know those things. But do you really know how to eat? Like, that's the question.
That's where Noom comes in, Todd.
Thank you.
Noom says, if you want to lose weight, it's not about the one thing you ate today, but it's how you eat in general. People need to understand that. It's not a meal-to-meal thing. It's an overall thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
You ever gotten questionable food advice?
Oh,
you
all know, the time.
Oh, yeah, don't eat this. Do keto. Do this. Do that. Don't, you know, get your body shocked. Don't eat carbs. Calm down. I'm tired of people giving me shit advice when it comes to eating.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't eat after 8 o'clock. Don't do this. Yeah. Let's be honest.
I'm not a gremlin. I don't need instructions about what time of the day I can eat or what time I can get wet.
And I'm not even sure it's actually advice like what they're saying. I think they're just spouting off bullshit they've heard. You know what I mean?
That's exactly what it is. It's just like those people that read one thing on Facebook and then they form an opinion on it. And now they're going to shove it down everybody else's throats. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. Don't get fucking caught up in the propaganda.
That's what you need. Real advice from a real company. And Noom knows the answers to all your food questions are the same. It's psychological. Psychologically, it's where it's at when it comes to eating. And Todd, tell them why Noom works.
Well, the reason it works is because they pick the health goals that are right for you. Like, they know. They're helping you out. They have knowledge you don't. So they're going to pick the health goals that are just right for you. And then they personalize a weight loss program to help your aspirations become reality.
Noom's going to teach you about your eating habits, your cravings, how to build new habits. That's what the problem is. It's a habit thing. I just said, oh, I'm going to eat this. I'm going to eat that. I'm going to eat this. This is what I always do. This is what I always do. Who cares? Noom teaches you how you can accomplish your personal health goals and stick with them long term.
Yeah, and the reason you can stick to it long term is because it's easy. It only requires 10 minutes a day. How easy food logging is will blow your mind.
Mm-hmm.
How nice it is to see your progress on a fucking chart. I mean, come on. That's why it's easy to maintain over a long period of time. They've thought this thing through.
Eating better to feel better.
So there is a science to getting healthier, and it's called Noom. Sign up for your free trial today at Noom, Noom.com/guns blazing. No G at the end. You know, you listen to the show. Noom.com/guns blazing. If you're ready to learn how to live healthier, then sign up for Noom right now. Sign up for Noom at Noom.com/guns blazing so they know we sent you. Man, I tell you what.
We have people's backs. We have people's
feeling good.
Backs.
We're making your guys' lives better. We're getting you little discount trial offers to try things out, see if you like it or not. Stay with the ones you do. Move on to the other ones if you don't. You know what? It's a plethora of good decisions that we're offering to you at a hell of a deal. So I feel pretty good about who we are right now in your world. You know what I'm saying?
Sipping on his Pinot, kid.
I have quite the wine collection started, but you do? I only go with Sauvignon Blanc and
white. You're a white wine guy.
Yeah, that's my favorite, I think. Chardonnay, I don't mind either.
Okay. It'll match your face and hair, that Chardonnay.
Yeah. I'm not sometimes a red wine, but not nearly as often as the white.
Yeah, I eat a lot of pasta, mostly gluten-free now. My girl's son's gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
He has gluten allergies, so he has gluten-free, which is good. He's cut up as fuck too. Like he's 18 years old. Like he's way more cut up than I ever been in my whole life.
Yeah, that's.
But he gets to eat that gluten-free, delicious pasta. And I eat a lot of steak, a lot of pork. I mean, I'm going with a lot of fucking red wine, Todd.
Mm-hmm. In some countries, they drink a glass of red wine every day because they're eating fresh meat straight from the market, and it helps kill off or bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
So think about
a little heavier.
That.
You know, if you're more of a fish person, if you're lighter on your feet, go white.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just more of a red guy. You're a white guy. I'm a red guy, and it kind of reflects on who we are.
I think so. I mean, there's power in the white wine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like there's just a lot of white power in that wine. As opposed to the red power, I don't know.
You ever see that? All jokes aside, you ever see? I think we talked about it, the Zach Galifianakis fucking. I think it was Ted Alexandro.
Not Zach Galifianakis. It was the Hot Pockets guy. God damn it.
They do that sketch on the white wine. Oh, Jim Gaffigan.
Jim Gaffigan, yes.
It's so fucking hilarious, bro. Todd, you know what? Listen, Todd, we're making moves. We're coming into summer. Winter's over. I'm not a winter guy. I'm finally coming into my element. And that's where this podcast is coming. We got a lot happening. We got shows coming up. Go to our website. Follow along. Hey, tell a friend. Add us. Tell another person to listen to this podcast because some fun shit's happening.
It is.
And next week is going to be electric.
Next week, extra special episode coming your way. This is what I feel good about. Like today was the first nice day in Indiana for a while because it just fucking rains constantly in April. But was like just doing phone meetings where you can go and sit on the back patio and just set your phone on the table and have the meeting.
Yeah, dude.
You just feel way better than, I'm stuck here in the dark fucking office or whatever because I don't have fucking adequate overhead lighting, you know?
That's what we might fuck around and end up in Florida, you know? Mm-hmm. Because I'm just tired of winter, bro. It brings a gloom over my body. I'm a West Coast dude. Mm-hmm. I'm a beach guy. I don't care how fat I am. I don't really want to wear a shirt. Like I wear sleeveless when I can. In the summer, I almost never wear a shirt. I only wear sleeves if I'm on camera.
Well, summertime just forces me to get rid of my gut.
Not me. I'm never that committed. Luckily, I just don't give a fuck enough. But, you know, I still try. I still eat better, and I'm still a little bit lighter on my feet, and I'm more active, and I'm pumped.
I said I was going to start running. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but I told myself I would start running.
You know what? The thing is, don't set your goals high. Lap, Todd.
I don't run far.
Do a fucking lap in your neighborhood. Yeah, do a slow lap in your neighborhood.
I run fast. I don't run far. Do that. I run fast.
Okay. I learned how quickly I can start banging miles the last time I trained for Rough and Rowdy because those motherfuckers were like on my shit about running.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you doing with your fingers?
I got a little notepad here and I'm flipping it like a deck of cards.
Yeah, that's what you're doing. See, I started off slow and then they would be like, and I'd walk a lot, you know, on that treadmill because when I was training for Rough and Rowdy, I would have to go in there and the first 30 minutes was just cardio. Like, they didn't even want to look at me. Like, go get on the fucking treadmill. Like, don't even look at me. Don't talk to us. Go run. So I started banging off, getting a couple, 2-3 miles out of the way. At first, I was barely getting a little bit of time, you know, mile and a half because I'm walking half of it and I'm fucking being a bitch. And then by the end, though, bro, I was for 30 straight minutes. I was booking it, dude. now I'm
burning your lungs.
I started, but I'm just saying, like, Within a couple of weeks, I was banging. I was rocking because that every single day, 5-6 days a week cardio. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I used to be a big runner. Like, I used to be really good at running. I never liked it, but I used to be like really good at it. Like, I ran the mini marathon with very little training. I just could not.
How long is that mini marathon? How many miles?
13 and a half miles, I think.
Shut the fuck. You did 13 miles, no training?
Yeah, it's half. I mean, I ran a little bit with my lady who, Bailey's mom, she was training. So sometimes I'd run with her during her training. But she was on a full regimen. I was just hitting it here and there when I can. But I was young. I mean, I was just a natural good runner. I just didn't fucking like it. It's so fucking boring. I would rather jump rope. I would rather wrestle. I would rather do jiu-jitsu. Anything that just involves doing instead of just fucking moving your legs.
Yeah, it's no joke. I was peeling off 5 and 6 miles a few days a week when I was on tour of Fluffy for a while with my manager, who's Gabriel's manager. But then I popped the knee out. But then it got fixed when I went to that fucking chiropractor before Rough and Rowdy.
Oh, your chiropractor fixed your knee?
It fixed my fucking
knee,
bro.
Holy shit.
And I couldn't believe it because I couldn't run for more than a mile and my shit would feel like pins were stabbing it. And whatever the fuck this guy did, bro, I'm in that gym in New York. For that 30 minutes, I was banging out 3 miles, 30 minutes straight by the end.
Damn.
By the end of my training of that 2 months, I was banging out 30 minutes straight on the treadmill without my knees hurting.
Yeah.
So it made me also believe in chiropractors even more because I'm like, I don't know what this guy did, but he fixed my shit.
Yeah. I think running, like if people that run to burn calories, you might as well walk. I mean, you can walk fast and burn about the same amount of calories, but.
No, I hate walking. I can't. My lady is a walker. Like my woman will walk 5 days a week, she'll go for 3 miles a day. She goes on the walks. And I can't stand walking, dude.
But
I have to run.
The purpose of running basically is just the not quitting aspect. Like that's part of why you do it, I think, when you're a fighter. I mean, there's cardio too, and it's breathing, you know, stuff like that. But like when I lost that 43 pounds in 30 days, I ran wind sprints. I would do shit like that because it's about sweating. You know, I could work up a sweat faster.
Yeah.
If I did sprinting or did the burpees and shit like that. Like I prefer that kind of cardio myself. I
enjoyed the cardio
distance running.
When Pat paid Damien every day to come train for Rough and Rowdy the first time when I fought Smitty. That cardio I can do because it's in it's quickness, right? It's bang, get it done. But then I didn't run then because I saw that fucked up knee. Then I moved to New York and went to the chiropractor.
But there's no need to run when you're doing that kind of training.
What are you talking about? Running? You have to run?
You don't need to run, dude.
For fighters, they run. Fighters run, bro.
A lot of them do, but not for the reasons most people think.
It's still for cardio. I mean, underlying, no matter what, it's for cardio.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically for fighting, you got to get your heart rate up to a certain level for a certain amount of time, right? That simulates fight stress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So running usually is just like a cool down kind of thing for fighters. And correct me if I'm wrong, fighters that are out there, but like it in no way helps you like during the fight because it doesn't simulate in any way what your body goes through.
Yeah, But you were doing the
high intensity training that simulates what you go through in a fight round around.
Yeah. Damien put us to the high intensity. I will say that unfortunately I knocked the motherfucker out so fast. I didn't even break a sweat, but I was really ready. Like I was cardio ready. What another fucking dream night getting fucking walked out by Luke Rockhold, getting taped up by Luke Rockhold.
Yeah. The reason I know
celebrating with Luke Rockhold, what a night.
The reason I know one doesn't have to do anything with the other is back when I was really good at running and ran the mini marathon, in that time period, I went back to a wrestling practice at my high school. Just my buddy was helping coach, and he was like, hey, why don't you come wrestle with the kids, whatever. So I'm like, okay, and I showed up, and I was fucking dying. Like a total different kind of getting in shape. It had nothing to do with running at all.
Damn, I'm almost a bottle and a half in today.
Nice.
On this episode. It was a good episode. We had a good time.
It was a good episode. Good times.
This is a kickoff. This
new
is a
energy.
And this is going to be a good kickoff episode. People are going to realize we ain't bullshitting. I mean, Marquette King called me on the phone. Next week's guest has confirmed on a couple of different texts that it's on. The week after that, super special guest. I mean, we're pumped. We want you guys to we want to just say thanks for listening to us. Like, we know you got a million fucking options, man. And we're just happy you choose to listen to our stupid asses.
We are. I just got a text from Garth Brooks.
What'd he say?
And he said, remember when you were telling me that story about you, how you hate name dropping? And I was like, yeah, I was just telling that on the podcast. And
yeah,
he goes, I was just telling that to my daughter right now out on the ranch. And I was like, oh. Seriously? At the same time, we had the same thought. And
now that's called destiny, friends.
I mean,
divine intervention.
There you go. There it is.
There it is, dude.
All right. Well, you guys enjoy your week. We'll see you again on Thursday. And who knows? Might be a special guest.
Who knows who's going to be on?
We'll be on.
We'll be here.
Love you.
Love you, buddy.